It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Blindly Obvious, it's clear as can.
The Blindly Obvious podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. All views expressed on this show do not constitute professional advice. We make no representation or warranties regarding the accuracy, completeness, or applicability of the content we express. These are merely our opinions, and as such, we encourage everyone to form your own opinions.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are talking an offer you can't refuse. Now, that was once kind of coined as a mob term, right, Jeff? You know, from all the different mob movies, The Godfather.
I'm glad they're all gone today.
Yeah. Oh,
they don't exist.
They're all gone. Don't worry about them, huh?
Don't worry about it.
We're moving in secret these days.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah, you know, kind of an offer you can't refuse. It kind of reminds me of the classic, come into your little pizzeria or something in New York, and then, oh, you know, you need insurance in here. This place could catch fire. And then, oh, no, my place is good. I don't think it's going to catch fire. It's up to code. Everything's good to go. And, oh, all right. Well, suit yourself. And then, you know, like less than a week later, your place catches fire just mysteriously. Should have got that insurance, I guess. But, yeah, you know, I think, throughout probably all of time, but certainly recent history here, and even our own country, everybody likes to look around the world because then we don't got to look within. But let's just use our own country as an example. I think we've been given many offers that we can't refuse, but the offer wasn't quite what we wanted.
As long as you're in the practice of accusing others of being the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
you'll never, ever evaluate yourself and mm-hmm. ask yourself, am I being the bad guy?
It's way easier to say, oh, it's everybody else, so it can't be me.
Right. You don't do a personal audit. Or you justify your bad behavior because you can always find somebody worse than you.
Well, I'm not doing that, at least. Or everybody else is doing it, yeah. So why wouldn't I? Kind of like we talked about here in the last couple of weeks of sometimes we like to be lied to. Oh, just tell me what I want to hear because it feels better in the moment. And I think that's probably been happening in terms of a cultural level or a societal level for quite a long time, actually.
So we know others do it, but we don't realize we all do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. It's almost like we're plugging our ears going, la, 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 la.
You know, Can't hear that.
And we're doing it sometimes in unison as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
We really feel powerless. I think that's part of the reason we want to plug our ears and sing our own little song of happy is because we don't feel like we matter and that we can change things.
Yeah. Do we? And can we?
I want you to think about in the last 100 years, three movements that occurred in our nation under the watch of the American people, where in the moment when it happened, people didn't perceive it to be the evil that it was.
Yeah.
In fact, it was actually couched, encouraged, and bipartisan, and the atheist and the Christian all came together and said, this is who we are and what we're about.
Yeah.
And locked arms and moved in a dark direction.
I think too, the difference probably between our nation and most others would be our country's probably the best at displaying nuance. Hmm. And what I mean by that is I think many, if not all of the things that you see happening around the world that you say, oh, well, that would never happen here. It's just disguised and covered up and repackaged as something else to make you say, well, no, it's not that because it's actually this that's happening instead.
What you just said is they have found an incredible way of reframing it. It's the same thing all over again, but they're able to successfully reframe it so that we don't perceive the evil that it was 100 years ago.
Sure.
But it's this new, desirable, wonderful, you know, medicine that's going to fix everything.
Then it's crazy that it's the same ideas,
yes,
are just repackaged and resold, like, as history repeating itself, but you don't necessarily realize it's that history is repeating itself because you never thought it was that in the first place.
And the whole time you're wagging your finger at the people who were idiots 100 years ago going, what's wrong with you?
Why could those people do that?
How could you be that stupid?
As in some capacity, we're doing the same thing in the modern day.
Yeah. We shared a video last night. We're blown away. A PBS video. We'll put the link on our show notes of the eugenics movement, and you have to divorce yourself of what we think of eugenics today and understand that back in the 20s and 30s, before World War II, it was presented as the new savior that's going to make America great again.
I got to say,
they didn't use that language, but right? That's exactly what they were thinking. As you listen to the documentary, the people talking and what they were saying and the movement, you see it's still happening. It's been repackaged.
Mm-hmm.
It never stopped.
Correct.
And that's what it was. It was so, to me, it was creepy.
Many of the founding idea havers in this movement in the beginning were evangelical people.
Yes.
They were people who openly proclaimed to be followers of God. Now, you could probably make a debate for, well, which God were they following? Yeah, I don't know about that, but I'm saying, you know, that they were active religious participants, and they still had these ideas and found them to be suitable, and they found them to be justifiable to carry them out.
The level of deception was so great that even God's elect, even God's people, came to believe that this was morally right and something that God ordained.
Yeah, and necessary.
Right. Before watching this documentary, when I thought of eugenics, I didn't think America. I thought Nazi Germany.
Sure. Which it certainly did take place there.
All Nazi Germany did was take the movement to the next level. But yeah. Nazi Germany got the idea and the ideology of eugenics from us.
When Hitler was in, what did I say, he was in prison or jail, whatever it may be, and talking about how he wrote his book, The Mein Kampf, he basically credited the head founder of this movement of eugenics and said, this book is my Bible.
Right.
Meaning the book of eugenics.
To me, the scariest part about this, Hitler just took it to its next logical conclusion. And had he not done it when he did, my question is, would we have done it as a nation?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's scary. Back in its heyday when it was, they were institutionalizing people. I forget what they called the institution, but it had a less, I don't know, it's like a camp or something, a happy place. But they were labeling people, and on the low end of the totem pole.
They coined the term moron.
Yeah, well, that's the top. You're at the high end. So there's idiot, low-grade imbecile. Then you had the medium imbecile, then a high-grade imbecile, and then there's the top end of the moron. But all of them were feeble-minded. Mm. And so what they were doing is taking anybody, they were doing intelligence tests. I'm glad we don't do that today to try and evaluate people.
No.
And give them, assign them a value for society based upon their intellectual capability. But this is what they were doing then. We would never do that now.
No.
Never. But but no, they were not just labeling people, they were putting them in these institutions and sterilizing them so they couldn't reproduce.
They basically sold this idea to the American people in the beginning based on, as immigrants were moving into the United States, these people sold this idea based on, there's going to be no America left for the Americans
right.
unless we take these actions.
Right. Yeah. In other words, all of these imbeciles, these feeble-minded people, inferior races are coming in here. And if we don't stop it, and they did for 40 years. You should see that. For 40 years, they reduced immigration, legal immigration, down to 97% for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
This, what we're going through right now is not new.
And they all wanted the even the same Nordic, Northern European mm-hmm. attributes, the blonde hair, blue eyes. That mm-hmm. was their whole thesis, was that if the blonde hair, blue eyes, weaker traits, since they weren't fully established yet, if those mixed with what they deemed
inferior
mm-hmm. races, those characteristics, those traits wouldn't hold up.
Those desirable traits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hold up.
Americans were the elite. We were the smartest people of the world as the blonde hair, blue-eyed people, white, fair skin. Nordic, was it Nordic?
Mm-hmm.
This elitism and ruling class type system that was being created, Hitler took it to the next level. And so here, where it kind of fell out of favor in the 30s was part of Margaret Sanger was saying is that, so there was feeble-minded people, but a kissing cousin of that disease, she called it, were the alcoholics, were the people who had epilepsy or mental retardation, all of those different classifications.
If you were in any form, what they deemed less than.
Part of that less than was if you didn't, you were unable to get a job to pay for material needs of your children or your family, then you were also stuck in this category. The reason was because you're a moron or less. In fact, they even ruled, remember this? They said half of the men in the military that were enlisted were feeble-minded.
Yep. All based on these tests they gave them.
Right.
Which completely discounts the environment they were born into,
right.
The education that they had opportunity to receive or not receive. And that was kind of some of the pushback eventually was, well, how many of these people are truly, quote unquote, feeble-minded versus they just haven't had the opportunity to receive any form of an education?
Well, what started that question, if you'll remember, was because the crash was coming and jobs were, unemployment had come to a new height, and people who were Harvard, you know, graduated, blonde hair, blue-eyed people who are the elite,
sure,
without defect, so to speak, were unable to get jobs,
right,
saying, well,
started
we're
finding themselves in the same predicament.
Exactly what they were categorizing these feeble-minded people, saying, the reason you don't have jobs is because you're feeble-minded. No, you just said it. It's what they came to realize, it's opportunity.
Yep.
People need opportunity to be able to succeed. Man.
It made me think of, back to when slavery was a movement in the United States. Mm-hmm. One of the main things that was stressed is they never wanted the slaves to know how to read.
Right.
Well, why is that?
Well, it justifies that they're inferior.
Well, you're dumb because you don't know how to read.
Right.
Well, of course, if you've never been given the opportunity to know how to read, you're not going to be able to learn very much. That's just matter of fact, still holds true today.
Right. So they could get away with not only calling you an animal, but treating you like one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man,
it's just you. It's not hard to find these periods in our most recent history. So so we got eugenics, you got slavery. How about some others? You can think about, like, the Battle of Athens is another one. And I know it's a different category, but it was regarding election stuff where people had to come together and overthrow a corrupt system that was messing with the ballot box. So that a good old boy system got in there where people were saying, hey, I'll do these favors for you and wink, wink, help you get by and skirt past the law if you put me as the sheriff.
Hmm. That wouldn't happen today,
that
though,
would
either.
Never happen here. But how about the most recent one that it's just now really, I would say, has kind of pushed over the brink of the majority saying, yeah, maybe that was a bad idea. All this stuff with that weird virus that came through, and we had the holy injection of holy water that would cure all things.
It almost makes you wonder if it wasn't that
eugenics
project
all over
continued.
Again. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because Margaret Sanger and all these people, what's the organization? I can't think what it's called right now. It's slipping my mind. Planned Parenthood.
It's like the same story over
again.
It's like
it never went away.
But if you look back, even as it shows in this documentary, many of the most prominent people in the country, the foundations and organizations and charities, all supported this movement. You got the Carnegies, the Rockefeller, they all poured money into this idea.
Kellogg,
which is an interesting story. With my eyes, when I was little, that's where I used to go. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, was the Kellogg Eye Center.
Mm.
Knowing now what I obviously didn't know then, I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Well, a lot of this stuff was still in wide open. It's before you were born, but in the 70s, when I was born, some of this stuff, like forced sterilization.
And they wanted me to do all this blood work and consider doing these gene therapies to help, you know, potentially restore my eyesight. And I've just always been petrified of needles and any type of that kind of thing. I'm just not for me. So I didn't do it. I didn't want to do it. I resisted. I didn't know why I was resisting it at the time. But man, thank you, Jesus. Now that I've actually gotten to learn a little bit about this, I'm just like, man, I was about to be part of that experiment.
Did you hear at the end of that PBS video? It was almost 2 hours. But the tail end, if you weren't paying attention, there was a cautionary warning put in there about the future of eugenics. And they didn't say it was going to be rebranded, but they kind of alluded to it and about basically how this movement would carry on, as in, and it referenced the test tube. Basically, instead of getting rid of people outright who were feeble-minded people, instead, what we're going to do is we're going to engineer better traits in people. Whoa, have we not heard about this, where they're actually engineering children to have not just certain eye color and...
Yeah, it's almost... You could, with the right amount of money, almost select the characteristics or traits that you want your child to have.
Right.
Even in the... To allude back to the documentary again, I remember at one point, one of the people within the movement was saying, my wife and I are both very tall. We don't want an abnormally sized human.
Right.
And then there was a point where they deemed this woman to be feeble-minded, who basically called their tests out as nonsense. So she refused to basically participate. And she was taken for psychiatric evaluation. And the psychiatrist was like, no, this woman's not feeble-minded. She speaks three different languages. And she's completely normal and sane.
You just nailed it. So there are some people who are a threat to this movement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was a guy most recently who was very vocal and was influencing a lot of young people. You know, you might say he was a younger JFK and went out the same way. We're all made to believe and to feel we're powerless. And then these people come along and tell us, no, you're not. And you can change the future. You can change the present. And we believe them. And then we start to have a movement and we start to actually alter for the positive and make things a more preferred and actual biblical and godly and good outcome. And we get away from these movements of evil. And then they get squashed.
I think our biggest problem in these situations, and I mean, you can look back throughout even all of the Bible and kind of the same thing happens. The people start to follow God's messengers and accidentally put the messenger in the place of God.
Right.
To where, oh, well, what would so-and-so do here? How would so-and-so handle this? Whether it be Moses, I mean, and then all the way up to now, you can talk about Charlie Kirk.
Sure.
Instead of saying, who was Moses and Charlie Kirk? Who were they pointing you towards the entire
time? The whole time.
They were never saying, Charlie Kirk was never saying, make sure you follow me, because I know best. Make sure that I'm the person that's being idolized. Moses never said that either. They all point you towards what really is going to create a movement with impact, and that's God.
This is a hard one for us to grasp. And if you've been in our church, I've said it a few times different ways, but we are a people who were designed. And part of that design is we are made to worship. And you're going to worship somebody.
Amen.
And you will. And you will either worship the one who should be worshiped, or you're going to worship someone who shouldn't, or something. I suspect.
Sadly, we're all guilty of it.
Sure. I suspect that the evil forces at work, and I'm talking about the unseen ones, not just the deep state. We're talking more than that. We're talking spiritually dark, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, and his minions, and those who are moving, trying to resist the will of God and purposes of God, the plan of God for us, the good things, seeks to exploit this for us to go and do what Satan himself did, worship himself.
And that's a great concept, because even in the film, these people, like I said, they were evangelicals. And they almost found it necessary or right and proper to almost assume the role of being God and carry out the work that they thought God would want done.
It was evil. It was straight up evil.
Right. I mean, and it's just like, okay, so just because this person didn't graduate from an elite university, does that mean they don't have purpose, or they don't have value, or they don't deserve to live?
We still have stay behind of this ideology to this day. Like, oh, we would, and it's falling out of favor, but there were certain schools that, oh, you went to an Ivy League school. Ooh.
You're elite.
You're almost revered automatically for that piece of paper on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still seeing some of the old stay behind, or wait. Maybe it's not a stay behind. Maybe it's still a movement happening to this day.
And I guess a good question I would ask is, how many of these people who are brilliantly educated, how many of them are brilliant in that they can critically think for themselves, versus they're just brilliantly educated in what they're taught.
You mean they can regurgitate really well?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying that doesn't make you smart. They're very smart. But how many of them are critical thinkers? I don't have the answer to that. I just wonder.
I don't know. If we had leaders who were critical thinkers, I don't think these kind of movements would ever happen.
Right. Unless you're a willing participant.
Right.
And I don't think most people are. Ignorant. They do willingly participate because they're sold a package of goods that in totality doesn't exist, but they're not willing participants in that. Hey man, I know we're looking for a bad outcome, a dark outcome here, and I'm all into it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I don't think most people wake up and go, what dag nasty evil thing can I do today?
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. I think that most of us, even for selfish reasons of self-preservation and our own family, want, again, our cup of happy, at least for those around us. And we know that dag nasty evil movement wasn't going to bring about the best thing. Because even the people that were who were pushing this agenda themselves were getting sucked into it and becoming labeled in inferior ways.
Mm. Exactly right.
So back to this whole thing is that we're led to believe, and this is why this whole conversation is important. The reason why eugenics, slavery, the Battle of Athens, the holy injection of the last few years that was going to save the world. The reason these movements died is because there were good people in the moment who realized they could change the outcome and spoke out. Now, listen, some of them did so at the cost of their very lives or fortunes, you know, like our founding fathers of this nation. But look where we are. And this is where they get us in fear. We, the people, watch this and we see our leaders that we admire who we're cheering, doing these amazing things, and we see them get taken out. And what happens? We get fearful.
Sure. I mean, it's a pretty natural thought to think. Like, if they could do that to that dude, what are they going to do to you?
What chance do I have? Because I don't have the position. I don't have the money, the influence. Yeah. So what chance do I have? But listen, I want to say church, but people, listen, if you lean into that fear and let them convince you to never be that nail that stands out. Sure, you won't get hit now. We'll all get hit later.
Clearly, it's played out over and over and over again.
You'll just find yourself being labeled, again, what was the term?
Feeble-minded.
you will be labeled inferior and needing to be carved out of society.
Imagine, let's just look at it from the viewpoint of their mindsets, of meaning those who orchestrate these ideals. Let's say this holy shot, as you've called it, isn't what it was sold to be.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the outcomes of it? We don't know, right?
Not fully.
Truly, I think it's... Now, I think you can say like, there seems to be some things happening over here that are kind of not good, but I say that to say... I think it's truly an experiment.
Right.
To them, they roll this out. They sell it to you. And you willingly take it because you're afraid. That justifies to them, well, you're feeble-minded. If you were brilliant, you would have never done it. That's what they would say. That's how they think.
There were people who were a part of the manufacturing and the science of this whole holy injection who themselves did not get it.
And said, oh, no way, I'd never do that.
No. In fact, they said, well, it wouldn't be fair for me to get it first because I have access. I want to give it to you guys first.
Yeah, no. Now, what other part of the worldly existence have you ever seen somebody who has resources say, if this truly were life-saving, that they'd say, everybody else deserves it first before me. I know I can get it, but everybody else deserves it first. And I'm just so selfless.
And then they flip it around and say, okay, so some of you didn't get it. And if you don't get it, then you can't travel. You can't do commerce. You can't.
Yeah, even though we're also like, maybe like, oh, well, everybody else should get it first.
Right. They went from, we're concerned about your safety and your life to, we're going to take away your freedoms if you don't do it. What? When do you ever have to do that kind of a threat? And I don't know who it was. They said, you know, a good indicator of whether something is good or evil, if you're not sure, they said, drag it out in the light and see what it does. Mm. See if it survives. You know, there's a reason why they keep burying not only its origin, where this little bug came from, but also posting the ingredients and the science and the patents behind it and even also suppressing. Listen, they can show, how do I say this? The results of those who actually got it versus those who didn't and what they died from. Why do they suppress that? Well, why won't they post it? Oh, it's because of that HIPAA thing. That's what it is. Because they can't. Yeah.
Right.
They will not let it be drug out into the light. Why? I can't tell you for sure.
Yeah, I think you got a good idea.
But I got some real suspicions.
There's usually, if it were true and it were good, like you just said, there'd be no problem. Let it sit out there. Yeah. The truth will stand on its own.
Well, if it's good, you know what happens? It gets stronger.
Yeah. And it stands on its own. It doesn't need you to defend it or claim how great and wonderful it is. It'll just prove itself.
The truth can fight for itself.
Absolutely.
And a lie, man, a lie just shrivels and dies in the light.
Slavery is kind of a thing we think of as it happened to one ethnic group. And I would say throughout time, all ethnic groups have been enslaved by somebody. But
yes,
more so than that, I want to say in this country, we are a melting pot of many ethnic groups. I guess I would encourage us to think of how free really are we? Now, you're free in terms of you can move about for the most part, unless you're in criminal trouble. But for the most part, you can move about throughout your day, right? And kind of do the things you want until it comes to the things that they want. And if you don't do them, you just saw your life gets all of a sudden a lot more difficult. Well, how is that if I'm free and sovereign? How can I not just make my own free will decisions?
God is the origin of freedom. He's the one that actually created us in freedom. Who was it in the end that took that freedom from us? And why are we still empowering that individual and believing the lies he's telling us that he is promising us freedom when he himself is only giving us death? But by the way, he deceived Adam and Eve, well, mostly Eve, but Adam chose, but deceived man to partake of that which would kill him. And now man is trying to oppress man to do the same.
Well, and if you look at our society continues to drift further away from being a godly society where all of our sovereign rights come from, we've been convinced, oh man, that's kind of just made up mythology. You don't really need to buy into that. And the further we drift away from God as the head, we replace God with man.
The Constitution only works if a people are moral and religious, meaning God-fearing.
Yes.
And if you're neither of those, then it's wholly insufficient to govern those people. And that's a truth that we're seeing played out right now in our world.
And it makes complete sense, because if you forget truly where your rights come from, that they come from no man, they don't come from me, they don't come from you or any other man, they come from God. If we forget that, it's easy to be convinced of anything else. Right,
right, right. Right.
Absolutely. It's easy to, if you don't believe there is a God, it's easy to believe that this holy injection, that God didn't give you an immune system because you're just an animal. God didn't give you an immune system to fend off illness. So why would you not need this man-made substance to do the job?
Yeah, if you let man or Satan convince you there is no God, it's only because they want to become God.
Hmm.
And they will.
How about, let's throw one more in there.
Okay.
How about all of the, here's a good one that I think's also been happening for a long time. All of the fraud that exists and all of these different projects and whatnot over the years that all of the people, I don't care what your color is, if you're a taxpayer, you've in some way, shape, or form unwillingly participated in paying for these different types of things to happen. Minnesota is just an example that's out in the open right now, but my goodness, you know it's happening everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
There is a daycare man who's taken in, what was it, billions?
It was something like that, yeah.
At least several million dollars at a bare minimum.
I thought it was billions.
I think so too. But they claim in this one facility, there's three different daycares in operation and not a single child. So yeah. All the money is just being embezzled.
It's a front. Yeah. What do they call that?
Well, they used to call it fraud, but...
Money laundering.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know all those criminal terms that our politicians take part in.
But yeah, it just makes you wonder once again. We unwillingly participate because we don't want to hear, although, no.
La, 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 la,
no,
la, la.
No, that couldn't be going on.
La, 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 la.
Yeah. That couldn't be going on here. There's no way. There's systems in place to prevent it.
Where's my earplugs? La 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 yeah, la la
people,
la.
People wouldn't do that. They're too good-hearted.
What's the old saying? All evil needs to succeed is for good people to keep doing what we've been doing. We need accountability, and what we've all got to understand is the only way that this government that's out of control will be held accountable is because we stepped up. Remember, we the people, we are the government, we are the people of the United States. Mm.
This has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
Past the signs each day, in little things missed along the way, the symbols hidden in glamour's light, blindly obvious, but out of sight. Mystery. The magician's lie, a trick so good you don't ask why. The truth, it sits with open arms, but we fool ourselves with deception's charm. Blindly see it, the roads lead back.